Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Press Coverage Podcast. I'm Jess Navarez and our Brandon Laurie is back. He is coming at you from literally the middle of the ocean, and it might be a BTB first actually, Brandon. So first and foremost, how's the cruise going? Thank you for being so dedicated to do this podcast while you're literally on a cruise ship. I mean, again, talk about a BTB first. I don't think anybody's done that yet.
Yeah, you know what? I missed it too much. I didn't get a chance yet to listen to the episode with Christy last week. I know a ton of people checked it out. I heard a great response from a few fans that follow me. They said it was awesome and what you guys did, which is great because it makes me feel better to know that when I'm gone, everything is still afloat. And of course, that goes without saying when Jess is involved. But no, it's fantastic. We're towards the tail end of the cruise now, so we're making our way back to the States. Got a nice tan, which is great. Usually for me, I'm either milky white or burnt throughout the year. So the fact that I was able to maintain some type of tan was pretty impressive for me. Won a few dollars, and all in all, just an amazing trip. Great food. I'm happy to be back. I'm happy the Cowboys also took a vacation as well, too. Not too much going on while I was away, but I think that was more of them realizing that, hey, listen, Brandon's away. He can't cover the Cowboys from afar because the internet package is just too much here. So we need to make sure we keep everything at bay. And then when he comes back, then we'll hit the ground running.
You know, I'm pretty sure I heard Jerry Jones say that in an interview somewhere. Like, I don't think I could pinpoint where the interview was, but I heard him say specifically, like, Brandon Laurie is going to be on a cruise, so the Cowboys aren't doing anything. Word by word, like verbatim. Yeah. But we are glad that you took some time to R&R. You're enjoying your honeymoon cruise. And again, I like that you said we're keeping things afloat. No pun intended, even though it kind of was as you're on a cruise ship. Had to shout out that. All right, guys, today on the Press Coverage Podcast, we're going to actually take a look at free agency so far. Again, Brandon didn't really get to react to some of the news throughout the week as he's been on his cruise, but it wasn't that eventful of a week. In fact, the only reacquisition that the Cowboys got since your departure, Brandon, was running back Rico Dowdle. And I just wanted to ask you about this because I saw a lot of mixed feelings on Cowboys Twitter about this signing and people wondering if, you know, maybe he has a shot at being the starting running back. Maybe he's kind of still the second behind whoever they decide to draft, or maybe they get somebody else in free agency. We don't know yet, but what do you think about the move to get Rico again and what you like about this move so far that the Cowboys have done?
Yeah, I think it's awesome. I think the minute that Tony Pollard left, the writing was on the wall for me for at least bringing Rico back, because the one thing that the Cowboys have shown, especially under Mike McCarthy, is they want familiarity. They want voices in the room that have been there, done that. Mike McCarthy talked glowingly about Rico at many points last year during the season, in the preseason. He was able to put together his first healthy season as a pro. And I think that people saw the fruits of that. Like, he was very impressive against the Cardinals. He was very impressive against the Giants. And there are a few games where it felt like that the Cowboys were giving him more of the workload than Tony Pollard. So I think overall, I'm a big fan of the move. I think when it comes to pass protection, Mike McCarthy has shown he wants somebody to be there that's a proven veteran, not a rookie that's trying to find their way, because that could also injure Dak, and we don't want that. So Rico, towards the end of the year, got really, really good at pass protection. There was that one clip that sounds at the sidelines captured against Washington where he absolutely de-cleated somebody on the commander sideline, and Peyton Hendershot, you know, kind of shouted him out for it. So I think, and I think a lot of people were, I don't know if it was giving him hate or whatever, but on Twitter, I know he made a comment like, why are people coming after me? And I just think that him coming back is great, not only for the room, because there's a veteran guy there, but if he could put together another healthy season, now you're stacking good year after good year. And, you know, maybe last year in a limited role, that was all he was able to do. Now in a more expanded role, if that happens where he's paired with a rookie, paired with Deuce Vaughn, paired with another free agent. Maybe he's able to take on a little bit more and the coaching staff can give him a little bit more to carry the workload. So I'm all for it. I think he's also great as a pass catching back. And that's certainly what the Cowboys need. They've talked about that in their offense. So overall, I think it's a great deal. Whether he competes for a running back one spot remains to be seen, but it's similar to when Ronald Jones came in last year. Everybody wanted to give him the lead back job, and Tony Pollard kind of took that away in stride. So now maybe they bring in a rookie and kind of pair him with Rico, see what you have for the first few weeks. And if the rookie takes over, great. You have a good backup in Rico, and what he was able to do last year, you're able to see what he was as a backup. So I think overall it's a great move.
Yeah, and you know, regardless of what happens, that running back one competition at training camp is going to be something. And it's just such unfamiliar waters, because even last year, it was weird that you have a running back one competition at camp. That's just not something you're used to anymore watching the Cowboys. But as far as Rico and his health, he was dealing with a nagging ankle injury towards the second half of the season, which is why I think you saw him more in the pass pro side of things and not so much actually being RB2. But what I love about him, and Mike McCarthy said this plenty of times, is he has this angry run style. And once he finds that hole, you're not catching him. Rico is truly, yep, truly coming into his own. And something that I've talked to him about is, you know, obviously his health has been the reason he hasn't had opportunities before, because he has had a past with injuries. But when I talked to him about it this year, other than that ankle injury, he was doing great. And he contributed that to, you know, all of the stuff he was doing beforehand to make sure he was stretching right, taking care of his body. And then afterwards as well. I'm having trouble talking today. Brandon can attest to this. I cannot get words out today. But everything he was doing afterwards as well. So not even just he called it the prehab and the post-hab. To make to make sure that his body was taken care of. So things like ice baths or massages, just to make sure that he knows exactly where his body is at all times. So if anybody's worried about the health aspect of Rico Dowdle, he definitely found something that was working for him last year with the Cowboys training staff. So I think that's something to be positive for as well, if that was something that anybody was worried about.
Well, and just really quick, I wanted to add to that, and that was the exact point I was going to bring up, where it was when you stack good year on top of good year, you know, he was able to make it through an entire season relatively healthy. And mentally, when you can tell yourself like, hey, I can do this, let's do it again. You find sort of what works, what doesn't work, and you're able to move forward into a year with a clear mind of, hey, I'm not rehabbing. Like when I talked to Jake Butt on the podcast the week before, he mentioned with Jordan Lewis sort of a similar, you know, mentality where Jordan Lewis was coming off of an injury, and he said, are you rehabbing or are you training? And he said those are two different things. And for Rico, he's always been rehabbing, and you're not really able to train your body because you're constantly in a recovery period. So how do you kind of build off of, you know, maybe your workouts and stuff like that when you're just trying to get healthy? Now that he's healthy going into an off season, he's able to kind of just focus on training more so than rehab. I think that's going to pay dividends for him.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, something about, before we wrap up this whole conversation is, I am not shy about being a Rico truther. I absolutely adore talking to Rico in the locker room, because he's not a very loud guy. He's not going to be the loudest guy in the room. But the way he shows his work ethic is through his actions. And, he really does work hard. I mean, you talk about a guy who could have given up years ago for, you know, his body not cooperating and the injuries that keep occurring, but he hasn't. And I always look at, there's a reason that the Cowboys continue to bring him back, because they still see that burst in him. They see that light in him that he's able to contribute. It's just figuring out a way to keep him healthy. And there's not necessarily anything wrong with that, i.e. Tyron Smith, which we'll get into in a second. It's just, again, these guys have wear and tear on their bodies that when you don't play football, you don't understand how quickly that wear and tear can come, especially at certain positions like running back. I really hope whatever is, whatever happens in terms of running back, whether it be drafting a guy, picking somebody up in free agency, whatever, that Rico does have a shot at that running back one spot. I really, like I said, I can't wait for training camp and all this to be kind of figured out and sorted out, so that way we can get to that competition already. But that's a long time coming. Speaking of, I guess, things that happened, and I mentioned Tyron Smith earlier. Brandon, you decided to take the cruise on the most emotional week so far of
Oh,
Cowboys free
yeah.
agency. I mean, it was the trifecta of emotions for Cowboys fans. So I wanted to get your reaction on, first of all, the three that I'm alluding to, which is Leighton Vander Esch officially retiring, Tyron Smith heading to the Jets, and then Michael Gallup being released from the team, which I think we all kind of expected, but that doesn't mean that it's not hard. Those are three of your, those are three starters. And I wanted to get your reaction on all those three, and then we can get into the Jonathan Hankins thing and we'll go from there.
Yeah, I mean, you said it best. Emotional week is the best way to describe it. All three of those players were at one point key contributors during the Jason Garrett era, sort of what that 2016, 17, 18, 19, Cowboys team was. And then when it transitioned to Mike McCarthy, Mike McCarthy then started drafting his players. So the fact that all three of those guys are gone, then that we're all kind of former era Cowboys, you're sort of losing a part of what, a lot of fans grew up watching, kind of in their middle teens, maybe early college days like us. Those were core members and core faces of what we thought were the Dallas Cowboys. So specifically with Leighton Vander Esch, I think, like everybody's been saying, it's unfortunate. He definitely made the right decision. I'm happy he came to that decision because when you talk about long-term health, we've talked about that numerous times on this podcast. You hope that these players are in the right frame of mind because it's not just them on the field. It's their families and people who surround them. So the fact Leighton was able to come to that decision, very proud of him, very proud of everything he was able to accomplish. When you look at where he stacks up among Cowboys linebackers in that 6 year, 7 year time frame, I mean, he's been one of the better ones. And you just, same like Sean Lee, you wonder what could have been if it weren't for the injuries. And it's a shame because last year he was coming into his own, looking really great. And then unfortunately, went down early in the season. So best of luck to Leighton. Michael Gallup specifically, I think the way I worded it on Twitter got a lot of heat for it. But I said that the Cowboys were a better team with Michael Gallup on the roster. And I meant it in a way where maybe not the talent side, but I mean, listen, the last impression that we have of him is him going over 100 yards, 7 for 7 in a playoff game. And I understand a lot of that was in garbage time, but I'm just saying when you were talking about building off of momentum, that's something that he could have carried into the offseason saying like, hey, in the biggest moment of the season, I was able to at least put together something when our team needed us most. So I was looking forward to the opportunity of seeing him compete for that wide receiver three spot. But with the Cowboys investing in Jalen Tolbert, trying to get Kevontae Turpin more involved, maybe they draft somebody because of the looming expiring contract of Brandon Cooks next year. You don't know what's going to happen there. They need to find guys who could kind of step up more into that number two, number three role. And maybe Michael Gallup isn't it. So it is unfortunate. We've talked about him. I know you've had a personal connection with him. He's seemingly a fantastic guy. So very emotional on that side. And then, of course, Tyron Smith. It is really tough because he's been the pillar of the franchise on the offensive line for a very long time. Now Zach Martin kind of takes over that role. But when you look at the injury history, I think that was the major factor here for the Cowboys. Like, yes, Tyron Smith was able to put together a great year last year. Yes, the Cowboys are worse without Tyron Smith today, but that doesn't mean they can't get better by drafting somebody in the first round. I think that sort of becomes the blinking red light for them at that spot. But when you look at Tyron Smith, I mean, for years we've been saying at some point the Cowboys have to pull the Band-Aid off with regards to Tyron Smith. So this was the year, and he didn't have that much of a market for it. I know Connor Hughes, who covers the Jets for SNY, he said that Tyron Smith not having a market could be a good thing or a bad thing. It's a good thing maybe because nobody was looking at him and the Jets found a diamond in the rough, or it's a bad thing where, maybe the rest of the league knows that Tyron Smith is just injury prone and that was not a true test of who he's going to be moving forward, and that he can get injured again, and the probability of it is pretty high. And the Jets are taking a risk on it, but for $6 million, I don't think that that's that big of a risk for the Jets. So if the Cowboys brought him back at that number, I think that would have been great. But I think the incentives show that maybe Tyron Smith is betting on himself a little bit more than the Cowboys were willing to give. So at some point, they had to pull.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Off the band-aid for all of these guys. And the fact that kind of Leighton Vander Esch retired, they released Michael Gallup and Tyron Smith left in free agency. I think that they kind of did that for themselves. And the Cowboys made the conscious effort just to say, listen, we're going to turn the page. We'll draft a lot of these guys to replace what left in free agency or retired. So the Cowboys are not better today with losing those three guys, but that doesn't mean they can't get better.
I love your optimism, Brandon. I really do.
I try so hard. Unfortunately, everybody just is very pessimistic, but you know, you can only control what you can control.
Right. And you know, you and I were talking about this before we started recording of kind of reminding ourselves and everybody that we are what, 2 weeks into free agency. It is not the end of the world. And you know, I know there was something you wanted to mention kind of about the Cowboys' approach to free agency compared to last year, because it just, I think that all in comment from Jerry Jones kind of mixed things up for Cowboys fans, and they had higher expectations than what's going on. But Brandon, in your opinion, because really I'm not surprised to see the approach to free agency right now. It's not really any different than you've seen in years past. And I would be surprised if we didn't hear Jerry Jones say he's going all in, because like I had mentioned, that's something that he says pretty much every offseason. Same thing, same sentiment, just in a different font or a different way, really. Because what team shouldn't be trying to go all in free agency? You know, I think we all just kind of read into it a little too much. And we were kind of clinging on to anything for some hope and some optimism after the Green Bay loss. But I mean, Brandon, are we shocked that we are nearly 2 weeks, 3 weeks into free agency, and this is where the Cowboys are in it? And again, they only have one signing. Most of their guys, honestly, are heading to Washington. And there's only four free agents left that you can really look at and decide if you want to keep on the roster. But are you surprised by any means by how this has all gone down? Really?
No, because looking at what they did last year, I thought last year was more all in and than this year. And it's kind of showed its hand that way, where, you know, they're letting guys like Tyron Smith walk. They were able to kind of renegotiate a contract with him, get Zach Martin redone for 2 years, and you know, Zach Martin will be coming up next year. And when you look at the looming contracts and everything that they're gonna have to spend over the next 2 years between an extension with Dak, CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons, I mean, the fact that they got Trayvon Diggs done last year looks a lot better now than it did back in the summertime. Even though it looked great then, it just looks even greater now, because you have that already solidified, that's already done, you lock down a cornerstone player. And you know, if you had all four of those guys up for contracts, then the Cowboys wouldn't be really spending any money, or they'd have to let maybe two or one of those guys walk. And Cowboys fans would say, well, they couldn't sign Trayvon Diggs. That's a shame. Shame on them. Well, they can't sign everybody. You know, like, there is a salary cap. It is a real thing. And I understand that everybody says, well, look at all these other teams. Look at what they're doing. The Saints are, you know, hands, their hands are tied behind the back for cash and all this stuff. And they're making moves. Well, the Cowboys are trying to look ahead to 2025. I've heard this throughout all the other podcasts on DallasCowboys.com. John Machota even talked about this on our podcast. So if you listened to him when he was on 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, you would have known that this was coming. Like, what was coming was nothing. And so this is not surprising to me. They've shown in the past to find value in these later weeks for guys that want to be on prove-it deals. I know Michael Gelkin put out a great article talking about the VSB, which I forget what the acronym means right now. I thought it meant at the time very strict budget, but it's talking about veteran minimum salary, where you're talking about incentive contracts for a lot of these guys, where they sign for the veteran minimum and then hope to bet on themselves, where they can outperform and kind of hit some escalators in their contracts to make more money. I think that's what you're going to see for a lot of guys that maybe are sitting out in free agency right now that aren't really finding a home. They look at the lore of the Cowboys and say, hey, well, I can make a lot of money there. Maybe if I do really well during the season, endorsements can come along. Hey, you know, it's a win-win for both sides. The Cowboys need to fill up some depth. And then maybe the vet wants to come in and kind of prove it for 1 year and then go back into free agency next year. So to me, it's just business as usual. I keep trying to tell people, like, we were freaking out. Fans were freaking out, you know, a few years ago, and they ended up bringing in, you know, Jayron Kearse, Malik Hooker, both cornerstone guys that ended up being very, very impactful players for them over the past 2-3 years for very low money. So I think a lot of the pressure is going to rely on Mike Zimmer, especially on the defensive side. But I think Mike Zimmer is the right guy to handle that. Like, if you had an AD come in and be the defensive coordinator this year with what they have right now, I would say I'm a little worried, because there's not a lot of veteran guys who kind of help teach the defense as AD's learning how to be the defensive coordinator. That's why he's in Seattle, where Mike McDonald is the head coach, who is a proven defensive guy. AD can kind of figure things out as he goes along in his career as a defensive coordinator, and that works for them. But with Mike Zimmer coming in, a proven head coach, to me, I'm not as worried. Out of all the free agents that were lost, I would say Jonathan Hankins is the biggest, specifically because the Cowboys need to get better at stopping the run, and he was the big reason why they were better at that over the past 2 years. But to me, it's business as usual. Give him some time. Let's see what happens with the remaining free agents that are on the Cowboys, you know, list that are have yet to sign contracts elsewhere. Maybe they come back, but I think, given the benefit of the doubt, let's see how things go into training camp. And if there's still glaring holes, it's just they're trying to do things financially responsible, looking ahead in the future so that they can still keep a competitive team and they trust themselves in the draft. Maybe they trade back, pick up a few more picks, and they're able to kind of field a really good roster based off of the draft. And then we're looking a few weeks from now saying, man, you know what? This is actually a pretty good team, and the cycle will continue. And then optimum season will come in training camp. And then before you know it, September comes and everybody thinks the Cowboys are winning the Super Bowl again.
You know, it is a very toxic cycle. Now that you say it, it sounds like a very toxic relationship when you say that. But yeah, you know, you kind of also skimmed over Jonathan Hankins. Let's talk about that, because we didn't get into that a lot as well. Hank, Big Hank, Aisha Morrison calls him Unk. He has a very uncle vibe to him. He definitely is one of those guys that, yes, you're going to miss on the field to stop the run, but we always talk about it, and you know how much I love bringing up a locker room guy and kind of how he will help the younger guys grow. And, you know, you may not see it right away, but I really think when Mazi Smith kind of comes to his own, he can come back and kind of credit Jonathan Hankins for that growth, because he has worked hand in hand with Mazi to really acclimate to life in the NFL and being a nose tackle, because it's not an easy job. And yes, now your draft class from last year really has to step up, because really nobody did last year, but it's going to be interesting to see what they can do this year. But like you mentioned, Jonathan Hankins, solid dude on and off the field. I'm going to miss him in the locker room. Dang, I was actually really sad about this one. You get to talk to these guys and then you see them be successful and get their bag and, you know, get another opportunity, and you're happy for them. But players like that, like Jonathan Hankins, you can just learn so much from and pick their brains. So I'm really sad that I don't get to learn as much from him anymore, because he won't be there. But I can't imagine how the younger guys feel in that aspect as well.
Yeah, definitely. I really do think that the Cowboys are going to miss him, and especially from the development of Mazi Smith. I mean, when you look at the oldest person in the defensive tackle room, it's Osa Odighizuwa right now, and he's going into his final year of his rookie contract. So that tells you where the experience is in that room. So if the Cowboys make a move, that would be the one spot I'd like them to sign a veteran free agent, just to kind of show Mazi the ropes and somebody that he can continue to learn from and improve in his second year.
And speaking of signings and everything like that, we have four free agents left for the Dallas Cowboys. Officially, it's down to four already. Jimmy Doga, Jayron Kearse, Sean McKeon, and then Stephon Gilmore. Brandon, I'm going to put you on the spot here because I didn't put this on the rundown because I thought about it and I was like, no, I'm going to put him on the spot because I have faith that you can do it. I want you to rank from, top priority. Obviously, we know it's probably going to be Stephon Gilmore, but top priority to kind of least priority for the four remaining guys. But also, I want you to kind of go through each of those guys and why you think the Cowboys either are going to try to re-sign them or why they might not.
So I'll start it off with this, ranking them one through four. I'll say Stephon Gilmore. I'll say Stephon Gilmore, Stephon Gilmore, Stephon Gilmore. I think that's a pretty
LOL,
solid list.
hilarious. That is bending the rules.
It is, but I will say I think he is the priority. When you look at him having a mutual interest of coming back, like he genuinely wants to come back. He mentioned that on 105 fan during the offseason or during the Super Bowl week. So he says he wants to come back with De'Ron Bland, Trayvon Diggs, Jordan Lewis. We'll see what happens with regards to the injury. I think what it was initially reported, he should be good to go by training camp. Maybe this is something where the Cowboys just say, hey, hang out. Stephon Gilmore's like, yeah, I'll hang out. I'll rehab. I'll do the stuff. We'll come back to the table in August. Because again, as a vet, he probably doesn't want to go through OTAs. He probably doesn't want to go through mini camp. A lot of these guys that you see that sign during training camp, there are a lot of older established vets. They're proven. They just want to hang out with their families, go on vacation. And I totally understand that. So if they find a way to bring him back to me, I would expect it more to be closer to training camp, in my opinion. I don't know anything. I'm just saying, based off of what I've seen from vets in the past, that would probably be the most likely scenario. But then, kind of the ripple effect of the other three, I think Sean McKeon would be great to have back. I know, Mike McCarthy has talked about him in high regard. But when you look at the development of Luke Schoonmaker and potentially Peyton Hendershot, John Stephens Jr., I think the Cowboys want to go in a younger direction. Sean McKeon is somebody that the Cowboys have relied on as a blocker, not so much as a pass catcher, but again, a veteran guy in the leader in the locker room that Ferg especially has talked highly about. So if he comes back, great. If not, I think they might address it through the guys that they have, not necessarily in the draft. Jayron Kearse has been phenomenal for the Cowboys over the past few years. Last year was a little bit of a step back. But if they can find somebody, I think in the draft, that would be the approach I would go. I would kind of you're already allocating a lot of money towards Malik Hooker and Donovan Wilson. And one or two of those guys might not be back next year, depending on what happens with a coaching staff change or whatever. So to me, you want to get another young guy in. I'm okay with that. Izzy McQuamu, Wanya Thomas, especially Wanya, I think deserves the opportunity to kind of take on that role when it comes to covering tight ends. He did such a great job week one against Darren Waller and showed that he was able to get better throughout the year. So I think he would be a great guy to kind of cover that role. And then Chuma Edoga, I think Awesome Richards just needs to kind of step up and take over that role. If the Cowboys move forward and draft a rookie as a first round pick, if Awesome Richards, Matt Wiletzko, I can't even believe Josh Ball is still on this team. I completely forgot about him. And not
Yeah.
in anything against
No.
Josh Ball. It was just something I completely forgot about when I was looking
Right,
at the
right.
roster.
I think a lot of people share that though, because I also had the same thought. I was like, oh yeah, that's an option, but no, I'm right there with you.
And I know he might be more of a guard than a tackle at this point, based off of maybe where they were thinking about him last year. But you have Wiletzko, you have Awesome Richards. Maybe you look at one or two of those guys and say, hey, this is going to be our future swing tackle. Because if Awesome like kind of develops into a swing tackle, your franchise swing tackle, that's awesome. For the next 3, 4 years, you can have somebody that you can heavily rely on in case something were to happen with a Terrence Steele, with whoever takes over at left tackle. He doesn't necessarily have to develop into the future left tackle of the Cowboys. If it does happen, great. But if not, you need a valuable swing tackle. And if he can prove to do that, that's great. So overall, I would say to me, Stephon Gilmore is the priority for me. He's always been the priority for me, even when it came to a lot of the other free agents. I had him even above someone like a Tyron Smith. But when you get Jordan Lewis back, maybe that signals that the Cowboys were deciding between Gilmore and Lewis, and just felt that having Lewis in the locker room, who could play the slot, you have Bland on the outside, who showed he could be a great boundary corner. I think he would be great in the slot. a little bit better in the slot, but that's just me. But whatever the Cowboys want to see, and maybe Mike Zimmer said, hey, no, we can work with Bland as the outside corner, and if Lewis is a better slot corner than a Gilmore, then we're going to go with Lewis. And maybe Lewis's price tag was a little bit cheaper than what maybe negotiations, if there were any, with Stephon Gilmore were. So I just think overall Gilmore would be the guy, but if not, you know, any four of these guys could be replaced through the draft or free agency.
Well, there you go. Yeah. I mean, but retweet.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
there's not much else you can say about the four remaining guys. It's Stephon Gilmore, I think is a difference maker. And anytime you can have that on your team, why the heck would you not try to reacquire it? So I'm all about getting Gilly back. I'm interested to see kind of what his rehab timeline will look like. But all that to say, Brandon, get the heck off of this podcast. Go enjoy the rest of your cruise. Make sure to keep up with all things Blogging the Boys on bloggingboys.com. You can find Brandon's incredible articles there. You can follow Blogging the Boys on Twitter. You can follow us on Twitter at Jess Navarez _ at Brandon is Right. That's WRITE. And then, of course, please like and subscribe. There's a YouTube channel with Blogging Boys that you can just do all these things. That'd be great. You can't get enough of us, so why not do that now? Make sure to leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcast. If you want to name the Press Coverage podcast by name, we would appreciate that. That would be great. And we will be back here next Monday as well. Brandon will not be on a boat anymore. So, Brandon, I hope you and Lucy enjoy the rest of your time on your cruise. All is well, and you guys get back home safe and sound.
I will say very quickly, I'll impart some wisdom of what I've learned here in the Bahamas. I'll say Cowboys Nation out there, don't worry about a thing, because every little thing is going to be all right. Just relax. Everything will be fine. We'll move forward, and whatever happens, happens. But just, you know, enjoy the ride while you can.
Words of wisdom from our Brandon Laurie. Thank you guys so much for listening this week. We love you. We appreciate you. Go be awesome. And we will talk to you next week. Bye.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.